Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Yes, it is. Free Talk Live.
At a reasonable volume.
Reasonable. I was told I could listen to the Free Talk Live at a reasonable volume. Isn't that a riff on Office Space?
Yes.
What was the character's name?
Milton.
Milton, yes, thank you. That was, I'm trying to remember the guys.
Stephen Root.
Yeah, he was the boss on News Radio.
Ah, such a good show.
Yeah, and yeah,
I miss Bill Hartman.
Yeah, that whole News Radio as a show, like,
and it helped to launch Joe Rogan. So
totally, yeah, that was Joe Rogan in his early days, and even on that show, he was a conspiracy theorist.
Named Joe.
He was always the guy like, well, that's not true.
He's never really had an acting gig. I mean, like,
that was
technically it. He acted as if he, like, maybe knew more mechanics than he probably does. But no, it was just him.
Yeah, he was the quote, electrician, unquote, on News Radio. And so that means he got to, like, solder wires. To get, like, back in the day, before digital technology, this was a requirement of any recording studio. You needed a studio electrician, a guy well-versed in soldering wires to boards, to punch bays, to, you know, all sorts of different things. And so even on that show, he was like, yeah, well, NASA wants you to believe they landed on the moon. Like, you'll hear comments like this from him during the show as part of his character.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just seems either like he was coached to become the personality that he has become with his show and all that, or he's just always been that way, and that's part of himself seeped into his acting career on the show News Radio. I'm not sure which one, because I don't know.
I'd say the latter, probably.
I don't know. I don't know the man. I don't know what his production techniques are. I don't know from whence he came. I've never been friends with the man. I've never hung out with the man. I barely listen to his show. So, you know, take from that what you will.
I don't know. I think once you squeegee your third eye clean, a lot of things become like, maybe we didn't land on the moon. Maybe there was, maybe Oswald didn't do it.
Is that,
maybe it was the guy on the grassy knoll, you know?
Does squeegee in the shower help keep your third eye clean? Or, I mean, I'm not...
Well, I suggest mushrooms, but, you know.
Oh. We're thinking of different third eyes, I think.
Ah.
Just not the mushroom tip, I guess.
Yeah, that's the brown eye, not the third eye.
Don't
use your mushroom tip to polish your brown eye.
That is a fact.
We did talk about
techniques for different places.
I think it was on Sunday of last week we talked about Brown Friday.
Mm.
Which is just...
What can brown do for you?
It's because Thanksgiving is a food-heavy holiday. Right, a lot of people sort of overdo it on many things. Right, it's a gluttonous, indulgent holiday. Right, and people who don't normally drink alcohol decide to drink alcohol and then go driving, which is my personal pet peeve. But plumbers, apparently, plumbing companies apparently get more calls on what they call Brown Friday, not Black Friday, Brown Friday, the day after Turkey Day, because it's such a gluttonous and people overeat, and of course that means they have to relieve themselves more and possibly in a higher volume.
And everyone's pouring all that grease down the drain because they think that can work.
They're using more toilet paper, or the bidet gets overwhelmed, or whatever it is, right?
But I mean, it's the stress test of the year for most people's infrastructure, if you will, because usually that thing's servicing like one person, a couple of people, and then bam, five times as many people.
Oh man, the line when I was a kid, like to the bathroom at the family house.
Oh yeah,
forget about it.
Yeah, there was
only goal was to beat my dad.
We sort of. I seem to
I didn't realize beatings were part of your family tradition.
To beat him to the commode.
Oh.
Like, if you got there before him, you were good. If you got there after him, you were miserable.
Because usually it's not socially acceptable for you to beat your dad. It's only socially acceptable for your dad to beat you.
Unfortunately.
If you're talking about actual beatings, then yes. Although, this still happens to this day, believe it or not. There are people who grew up with abusive fathers,
no,
for example.
Oh.
And it's when the boy becomes the man when he stands up to his father physically.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If the father is beating you or, you know, giving you beatings, quote unquote, or, you know, you're getting the belt or the wooden spoon or whatever the heck it is.
Alpha like, challenge.
Like, it's not until the boy stands up and fights the dad, right? Like physical altercation that the dad stops beating the boy.
Mm. Maybe this is why my mom delivered almost all of them. Like, every now and again, she'd outsource to dad, and then you knew you were in trouble, because that man had some upper body strength.
You just wait till your father gets home. You're really going to get it.
And mom was no slouch. She broke multiple wooden spoons us. So
Me and my sister, we were living with my mom at the time, just my mom, single mother at the time. Natural mom, not one of my foster parents or whatever. And it was around the holidays. And me and my sister had done something. I don't remember exactly what we did to anger mom. We thought it was hilarious, right? But we knew mom was angry. And so we saw her get angry, and she went to the kitchen to reach into the drawer for the wooden spoon, the dreaded wooden spoon. You knew you were going to get it if she reached for the wooden spoon. And we ran. But we're laughing, because whatever we did was hilarious, right? I don't remember what we did. But we run into the bedroom. She had the top bunk, I had the bottom bunk. We both, like, dive into our respective bunks to try and hide from Mom and the dreaded wooden spoon. Mom comes storming down the hallway into the bedroom with the wooden spoon. Because I'm on the bottom bunk, she goes to swing at me first, and she takes a big swing over the head, whoosh, and, like, breaks the wooden spoon on the bunk bed. Because I'm under it, right? She had bad aim and hit the wooden spoon on the railing that is the frame of the top bunk, right? And all three of us just busted into laughter. There was no beating at that point, right? Mom had been like, she was like, oh my gosh, this is too hilarious for me to beat you. I'm just going to laugh. And I think that might have been the last time she busted out the wooden spoon on us.
Now, because she broke it.
Well,
pattern breaking.
And also, like, foster care intervened.
All
and,
right.
You know, and we got taken away and sent into. And that's a whole other story for a
way
whole
to ruin
day.
A fun story.
But, like, just imagine, like, somebody coming to beat you and something happens that's so hilarious that, like, the beating doesn't ever happen,
like
and you all
rear
just
up
sort of,
for a haymaker, and then and suddenly all, banana peel.
Yeah, and you all just sort of laugh your ass off.
Good thing your gun jammed.
So exactly.
All right.
We should tell people what they're listening to.
Free Talk Live.
What's the telephone number?
603-283-6160.
Who's that guy?
Oh, this is still me.
Well, he's pointing at me.
Who's that guy?
I don't know.
Now he's looking at you.
Some kind of homeless guy.
All right, who the heck are you?
I'm Richie Rich.
Who the heck is that guy?
Peakless Mountaineer.
Who am I?
The captain.
All right, we're the hosts tonight. 603-283-6160, as Peakless already alluded to, if you want to join us. We are a live call-in talk radio program where you can talk about whatever's on your mind. We do lean, what's the word, voluntarious?
Sure.
That's my favorite.
A skew towards liberty and freedom.
Liberty and freedom.
A little bit polysyllabic, but it's a good one.
Have you noticed that the word monosyllabic has like five syllables?
Well, how else would you say that? See, there's no monosyllabic word for monosyllabic. It's too much concept for one little bleh.
Why is the word little big and the word big little?
Why is little twice as big as big?
Do you know what the biggest word in the English language
is? But nowhere
language
near
is?
As big oh, as no. enormous.
Do you know what the biggest word in the English language is? If.
Go on.
Well, I mean, it really has the most to it.
Okay.
It's the shortest by two. I mean, it's two letters. There's probably like I or right? Those are shorter than if. But if, to me, is the biggest word in the English language. It has the most to say.
Okay.
So, it's not the longest word, right? That used to be pneumono ultra microscopic silica volcano coniosis once upon a time. I think there's a word that beats that now.
That's what I thought you were going.
Oh, not, they come up with new medical terms all the time.
It's not supercalifragilisticexpialidocious either, because I checked. But once upon a time, I did a spelling bee in like sixth grade or something, and like I tied with this girl who was, I mean, way smarter than me, right? But like we were both pretty good at spelling, and so they asked us to spell, like choose our own word, and then the judges would decide, you know, who wins, right? And so I chose pneumono ultra microscopic silica volcano coniosis, and I beat that chick.
Nice.
She chose, I don't remember what it was, but it wasn't pneumono ultra microscopic volcano coniosis.
And how could it be?
Clearly much less impressive.
Yeah, it was something like ambidextrous, or, you know, it was a much shorter word.
Pulled out the trump card there.
And then she had a hard time defining it as well, but I was like, now silica volcano coniosis, or silica. Pneumono ultra silica volcano coniosis.
I'm starting to understand why you have so many titles.
Is the long is the long version of silicosis, which the street term for that is black lung.
Ah,
this is a
disease.
I
can see why they shortened it.
A disease that miners get. It was specifically invented for the inhalation of quartz dust. And then it sort of expanded. Like, black lung is just like the inhalation of, like, whatever you happen to be mining for getting into your lungs and causing all sorts of health problems. So it expanded into that. But so silicosis is the shortened version of that, so a doctor may diagnose.
I can see why they shortened it even a little bit.
Yeah, because who's going to pronounce that, much less spell it or write it out? Like, doctors' handwriting is, like, even before the digital era, was so heinous that nobody could figure out what the hell they were writing anyway.
Yeah, and frankly, apparently doctors are about as lazy as it gets.
It's what?
Doctors, they're about as lazy as it gets.
Mm.
Like, there's a very particular muscle, supraspinatus. No doctor has ever told a patient that they had a torn supraspinatus. They say, oh, you tore your rotator cuff. Now, your rotator cuff is actually a whole crap ton of muscles. It's all of the muscles of your shoulder, your bicep, your tricep, your delta. These are all rotator cuff, is one big round thing. But they say, oh, you tore your rotator cuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I tore this one tiny little muscle that is, it just happens to be the one that is most likely to tear.
What is it, supraspinatus?
Yeah, supraspinatus. It goes from, so there's the spine of your shoulder blade.
Interesting.
It goes from,
okay.
Yeah, above it, super, and weirdly enough, it kind of dips under your little shoulder cradle here.
Yep.
And ties into your arm here. So it's especially likely if you're a rock climber,
sure,
because you're just rubbing that across your pelvic, or not pelvic girdle, your shoulder girdle here.
Ooh, shoulder girdle.
Yeah.
I thought I was still going with the pelvic girdle. So is that laziness, though, or is that just being...
Oh, it's totally laziness.
Well... But you got to speak in terms of what your patient's going to understand.
Okay.
And more people are familiar.
Or you could not lie to your patients, but, you know, whatever.
Well, like I said, is it a lie, though?
No, it absolutely is a lie.
It's a part of
that region. You didn't tear your whole rotator cuff.
Okay.
You tore this little muscle.
Okay.
You tore supraspinatus. You didn't tear your deltoid and your bicep and your tricep. In fact, if you tore a little bit of those, it'd be just as much of a tear of the rotator cuff, but then they'd tell you, oh, you tore your deltoid.
Right. There are a host of, I don't know what genre of metal, but like a whole bunch of subgenres of metal.
Too many subgenres.
Do delve into like medical terminology for their lyrics. Like there's guys who are like undertakers, there's guys who are like surgeons, that kind of thing, who write... grotesque songs, but will use these uncommon, medical terminology within their songwriting lyric. And they're usually, like, I'm thinking of death metal specifically. And so you kind of can't hear what the hell they're saying anyway.
Right. Mm.
But if you read the lyric sheets or, you know, go Google the lyrics of their songs, they start talking about medical terminology. So with that in mind, I feel like, what was the word? Superspinatus?
Yeah.
I feel like that should be a band name.
Ah, that does sound pretty metal.
Yeah.
We are Super Spinatus.
Yeah. And everybody just started like, yeah, like rotating their shoulder. Yeah.
Everyone gives the rock climber.
Something. Or double rock climber.
Yeah.
You're going to tear it on air. Be careful. Keep that up. I'm not doing it.
Would be funny.
Maybe we'll do that when we come back.
Okay.
We're not going anywhere right now. We're going to continue talking. But we have this. This popped up onto my news feed, and it reminded me of, and I can't give it any specificity. I just remember at some point, maybe a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, we talked on Free Talk Live about how the government was suddenly interested in any of your transactions that were $600 or more.
Yep.
That they were going to start tracking and monitoring, and like your bank, if you take out more than $600, or even I think it's $600 and up, right? I think it's $599 and under. They're like, eh. But if it's $600 or over, they're going to be like, ooh, we should be watching this guy. And this is before like the whole COVID thing, maybe, or
yeah.
Or like right during it or something. I'm not.
It's weird that people are now referring to like that period of time as like the pre-COVID.
It's kind of like that? It's AD and BC and yeah. And PC pre-COVID.
But we're like almost 4 years away from the impetus of that thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how long it's been.
And I still refer to it as the government's overreaction to this thing called COVID.
Sure.
Right. Just to make my point up front and, you know, if anybody has any question about where I might stand on it, that's been answered in my yep. response.
Remember life before COVID?
I do. And it was like it wasn't awesome. But, oh, my gosh, was it preferable?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had just moved to New Hampshire in the nick of time, right, to escape all of this inflation, to escape all of the COVID madness. I was about a year ahead of the curve. I came here in 2019, and I took advantage of what I like to call personal arbitrage, right? So I was making, we'll call it a salary, in the Seattle area. And living in the Seattle area on that salary was had me poor at best, right? I was having to be incredibly frugal. Craigslist was my friend. I had a couple of different side hustles doing things, you know what I mean, to sort of help make ends meet.
Yep.
Living in my own apartment, you know, not roommating with people, like, which is...
That's a big expense right there.
It's a monumental achievement in the Seattle area for you to, like, have your own apartment. You got to be doing pretty well for Seattle dollars. But, like, even with that, I was still poor, right? I didn't, from time to time, I didn't have money for groceries. I didn't have money for gas. These things would come up. And so I finally convinced my employer to let me work from home because I asked them for, like, a ridiculous raise. They're like, no, we can't do that, but... Is there some sort of intangible we can give you? I'm like, yeah, you can give me my wings, man. And they're like, sure. So I immediately made a beeline, right? Bought my ticket, came to New Hampshire, and I was able to get a 2-bedroom apartment for less than what I was paying for a studio
yep.
in Seattle here in Keene, New Hampshire. And then all of a sudden, unlike the Seattle area, I was able to buy a house. Right, totally impossible at my salary level, and whatever as a single dude by myself to buy anything that even remotely resembled property in Western Washington. I get here and I'm like, oh, wait, you mean I can afford something? And so I did, right? But like this is only because I took advantage of that personal arbitrage.
Yep.
And then when I bought my house, we couldn't close because of COVID. Like it took like 3.5-4 months. For us to close because we had to have 2 different inspections because I bought a duplex and there's 2 apartments and right. The people who lived in there couldn't agree on a date and they didn't want us coming into 1 apartment and then coming into their apartment after we were in the other apartment
or
whatever.
Because of COVID.
Yeah, whatever. And we weren't wearing masks. We were wearing gloves, like these mechanics gloves, not the blue ones, the black ones, the latex ones.
Oh.
Yeah, No, we weren't wearing
mechanics gloves.
What do you call that? Thinsulate, whatever gloves.
Call them mechanics gloves because they're mechanics gloves.
Well, they are branded. Oh, with the X though, right? Okay, mechanics. So at any rate, and we had to have two inspections and a couple of other things like COVID related, like sort of delayed the closing. They didn't know like how to actually have a closing previously. They would just gather everybody in a room and pass paperwork around. Now they had to find a big enough room to where everybody could be, you know,
six,
8 feet apart. And, like, I had to yell down the table to, like, yeah, here, it's your turn, you know, kind of a thing. And it was just weird, man. The whole thing was weird. But anyway, I bought the house in the nick of time, right? I got so lucky. I moved here just as, like, the inflation was going to kick in, the COVID was going to kick in, all that kind of crap. I can't even tell you how lucky I am to have moved here when I did. Like, I tried to do it 5 years prior to that and failed. Got into an accident. I had to hightail my ass back to, you know, wherever the hell I was and sort of rebuild and try again 5 years later. But I finally did, and like, oh, my God. And if I hadn't done it then, I certainly would have done it as soon as COVID kicked in, because there's no way I would have survived all the, let's just say, the West Coast maskiness and
yep.
the overwhelming, you know, left-leaning conformity that happens out there. I'd have been like, I am out of here. I'd have just sold whatever I could and GTFO'd. But fortunately for me, again, I'm so lucky to be here, to be on the show, to hang out with you guys, and the larger freedom movement that's going on in New Hampshire as well. I'm an unbelievably lucky dude. So thank you to everybody who welcomed me. Thank you to everybody who helped me. Thank you to, you know, Ian and Mark. Thank you to all the hosts, you guys in particular, who've been around a bit of time. I appreciate all of you and the listeners, too. If you are tired of what government is doing to individuals, then consider moving to New Hampshire if you are of a freedom mind.
Yep.
If you are a libertarian, an anarchist, a voluntarist, you know, if you believe that the initiation of force is wrong, you should consider gathering with like-minded individuals here in New Hampshire. I want to say, and this is just a short bit about it too, that recently HubScore.co did a report that ranks the happiness of all the 50 states in the U.S. and somehow North Dakota is number one.
Oh, man.
Not sure how they're the happiest, but apparently, according to this
ignorance is bliss.
Survey, North Dakota is number one. Guess who's number two?
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire is the second happiest state, according to the survey. This is on top of
now,
the recent news.
Was that the Dakota that, like, didn't lock down during the...
Correct.
Yes. They might be right.
Correct. And so New Hampshire ranks number two, on top of having ranked recently as the number one in economic freedoms in the United States.
Not just economic. Total freedom.
603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
As the cold and flu season approaches, Silver Lungs is ready to help you and your family through the toughest of the year by supporting your immune system and overall health. From our best-selling colloidal silver generating system to our entire line of silver-based skin gels, nasal sprays, soaps, and silver solutions, Silver Solutions remain one of nature's most powerful and least expensive antibacterial agents. Now you can produce your own for pennies a day in the comfort of your home using the breakthrough technology of the Silver Lungs Generator. Learn more today at www.silverlungs.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News update. Hamas is apparently holding off on releasing a second set of hostages as of today, saying Israel was not allowing enough aid trucks to Gaza. But now mediators say the situation has been worked out, and Hamas will release 13 Israelis and 7 foreigners in exchange for 39 Palestinians. Pope Francis cleared his calendar today. The Vatican says he's under the weather a little bit. He spent some time in the hospital after coming down with what the Vatican describes as the mild flu. The 86-year-old pontiff underwent a CAT scan of his lungs, and officials say the results ruled out any respiratory problems. Back in April, the Pope spent 3 days in the hospital due to a bout with bronchitis. During that illness, the Vatican said he was having trouble breathing. Francis is scheduled to travel to Dubai on Friday for a conference on climate change, and the Vatican is not said if the plans have changed. Skip Kelly, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
For listening. Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you are listening to this right now, you are the resistance. You are the fifth column. You are the people who hopefully are going to bring about change to this world that we live in when it comes to the heinousness of the institution you commonly refer to.
Can we call them the brown coats?
As government.
Too lost of a reference.
I dig it.
Okay.
Can we call them the brown pants?
I don't know. That was yesterday.
We try to come at you from the perspective of freedom, liberty, prosperity, peace, cooperation, but most importantly, consent. And when I get into discussions with other people about this institution that folks like to call government, the overriding, like the only thing any of us should ever have to say is this. That institution violates consent. That's the only thing we should ever have to say. Like, that institution should not exist because it violates consent. You can't name another institution that exists in violation of consent. And if it does, it's because the government gives them permission to do so.
Well, I mean, there's mafias and gangs and pseudo-governments.
Yeah, but the competition.
But yeah. But even then, like, if I'm running a, you know, I don't know, a convenience store in a, you know, downtown-y area, And the mafia comes in and is all like, hey, you know, you got to pay us a fee for us to protect you. And you go, yeah, I'm not going to do that. They're like, ah, well, then we're not going to protect you from what we're going to do to you, right? But if you go, okay, sure, like there's way more of a chance that the mafia is actually going to protect you from, like, hoodlums and criminals and the common street thugs and all that kind of stuff than any chance of police doing so.
Yeah, but
that is true.
But it's still predicated upon a violation of consent with the initial offer.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't change that. Just because they give better service doesn't mean that they don't operate in violation of consent.
But
state will occasionally fill a pothole.
We might have a conflict here with the term institution. I don't view the mafia as an institution. An institution is something that the common folks just sort of accept as a thing that exists.
Okay.
And they're like, yep, that's how it goes, right? Whereas the common folk don't believe that the mafia is something that, it just exists. It's just how it is. Okay. Like, most people are like anti-mafia type mentality, anti-mafia organizations, if you will.
Strange how that doesn't translate to the government.
Even though it's the same behavior.
It's the same thing.
Except institutionalized.
Yeah. Well, no, the government is us, and they represent us, and we can just throw the bums out.
Aren't we the government, Richie Rich?
No.
How so?
Because we're not.
How are we not the government?
Because the government is a fiction made up of people willing to hurt you for going up against them. And we don't do that.
But we've been told that we are the government.
You have been told.
Public schools teach
us. Well, no, the government's real. And if you want to test that, just stop paying your taxes.
Yeah, I stop paying my taxes, and the people that will come after me are still human beings operating under the guise
They're
of
the government.
They are human beings and should be treated
are
as
they,
such.
Though? Should they be treated as human beings? Honestly, if they're from the IRS, you should treat them like walking sharks.
Well, let me rephrase that or clarify for you. If a human being tried to aggress against me, I would defend myself against that aggression.
Uh-huh.
But they put on the uniform of the state, and somehow it's allowed, and it shouldn't be. They should be treated as all other human beings who try to aggress against you and defend it against in the appropriate manner.
Well, no, they're us.
No.
So it's you that's violating you.
Well, if it's us, then it's
if
suicide.
If only those Jews hadn't thrown themselves into those internment camps with their German government.
What is it?
What were they thinking?
Shiny badges, suit coats, and government titles do not grant extra rights.
I once tried to make a shiny badge, like a legit, I found like...
Oh, you can buy them at Porkfest.
No, that's a different one.
Oh, okay.
I was talking about, like the legitimate badge that the police carry. You know, I found, an online shop or whatever that made the badges.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I want my badge, numbered whatever.
Yep.
And then on the badge, it says, authorized lawbreaker. And I was about to, complete the transaction and pay, $85 or whatever for this, legit shiny badge. So I could flash it. It's like, I'm allowed to break the law. It's the authorized lawbreaker. I've got my own badge. But it turns out, anything like that, because they do it for the state, they would report it. I'm like, no, I don't want to be on the
phone. Right, yeah. Because, this guy might be impersonating.
I did. I wanted to have, the full police kit, sans the firearm, because you can't open carry that in Hawaii.
Right.
But instead of on the back of, it says police, I just wanted to say police.
Please. Nice.
With the UH or whatever.
Yeah.
But everything but the gun, to show, it's not the uniform, it's not the badge. Right, because I have all of that.
Yeah.
The only thing that's different is they're allowed to carry the gun, and that's why they're in charge.
Right.
They've got the guns, and that's the difference.
Yep. We'll talk more about all sorts of stuff, but we are a live call-in show. Let's go to, I believe this is Tim in Florida. Tim, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yep. I'm thinking that the badges are mainly paid for by the sales taxes that are paid by the poor. When they go to buy their groceries and their cigarettes and their beer. And then the police cars and ammunition and firearms are bought by the more wealthy property owners paying higher property taxes.
Okay. I mean, interesting theory, but money's fungible, so matters little.
Yeah, and I mean, it really depends on what level of goon you're talking about. So if it's a federal-level goon, then it's all purchased mostly by the fact that they just print the money, and that steals from everyone on Earth simultaneously. Whereas if you're talking on a local level, then yeah, it's the taxes that pay for it.
Well, I was just trying to say, you know, kind of like in proportionality, you know, when the poor are getting ripped off at their level, because a lot of people try to say the poor don't pay any taxes, but when they do pay taxes, what people are trying to say is what they pay is insignificant statistically, and that may be the case, but I'm just trying to say, like, that probably they at least pay for the badges.
Yeah,
you know,
well, when it comes to the poor, a lot of it, I think, is the inverse, right? They pay their sales tax at the grocery store, or, you know, depending on the state you're in, and their income tax or their gas tax or whatever consumer tax is available. But then a lot of them, on the other hand, right, get the handouts and the rebates and the welfare from the state. And so depending on their level of poverty, right, they're a net benefactor of the taxes.
Well, I was thinking more of the working poor. So you have a category of people that they're not qualified to collect food stamps, but at the same time, they can't really afford to live either.
Yep.
And that's what's classified as the working poor. And but actually what I want to call in about tonight, you make some good points, but I want to call in about Judge LaPlante.
Okay.
I have some thoughts on Judge LaPlante.
Okay.
And I think he's either inept. I think he's either inept and doesn't know how to do his job and doesn't know the law, right? That's one possibility. And so the result is you have Ian in prison for 8 years, or he's completely corrupt and paid off. And
I'd go with the latter.
I don't know which it is.
Well, let's never forget the possibility that it's both.
That's my feeling on him. And having sat through both some of Arya's trial, which also featured Judge Joseph LaPlante, and all, except for maybe one day I think I missed of Ian's entire trial, having witnessed the man and also gone online and done some research, like, these guys are public figures. They exist online. You're able to find out a tremendous amount of information just from a simple search of their name. Joseph LaPlante is an authoritarian, first and foremost. Right? This, to me, means I am convinced, I have no evidence of this, but I am convinced that he hits his children.
Okay.
Right. I'm also convinced that he enjoys dishing out punishment. And I say this because...
Did you say that he enjoys being choked?
I did not say that, no.
Okay. No, he said he hits his children.
I believe that he, as a father, at least spanks his children, at a minimum. To get them to remain in line.
I mean, honestly,
I wouldn't say it on air without evidence to support it.
But. Really? Because, number one, it's socially acceptable.
It is.
Number two, it is, like, wildly the exception to be a peaceful parent. Number three, even among people who claim to be peaceful parents,
right,
a lot of them are not.
Okay.
I say that having come from, maybe I'm biased because I come from a bizarre hodgepodge of families that I had to, like, wade myself through, of which most of them were abusive. So I know what it's like to take a beating. I know what it's like to...
You see the signs.
You know, I see the signs. And okay. what really irked me was when he was sort of delivering the sentence during Ian's sentencing, or actually during Arya's sentencing, not even Ian's. I saw it again later on when he gave Ian's sentence, but when he was giving Arya's sentence, he was like, okay, here's the part. And he didn't say, here's the part I enjoy, but, like, I saw a look of enjoyment on his face.
Okay.
Where, like,
wow,
this is the time when I get to dish out the punishment, and I saw the look of joy on his face at dishing out punishment. Now, whether that's because he believes so-and-so is guilty and is getting a just sentence, or because he's just an authoritarian who enjoys dishing out punishment, is kind of irrelevant in my book, because I saw the look of joy on his face while he was dishing out the punishment.
If they hung and quartered him, you'd see a look of joy on my face. So
I was just about to say something not quite as... I was just going to say, man, you know, one day if heads could roll or something like that, you know, I might have a smile.
Yeah.
Took it to a whole nother level.
Yeah, I don't wish bad upon the person. However, if something horrible were to happen to him, I ain't shedding a tear.
Well, when the day comes where we have competition in a court system, he's going to find himself unemployed, which means he might finally do something productive instead of vindictive.
The
thing is about, like, all of the judges, all of them,
yeah,
like, with very, very few exceptions, they used to be lawyers.
Yep.
Like, very few exceptions. Now, in order to be a lawyer, you have to swear to uphold the court.
Yep.
That's part of entering the Bar Association. Now, I get that plenty of people make oaths and don't mean them, but whether or not they care about oaths, every single one of these lawyers, with almost no exception, really cares about upholding the court. Meaning to say, making the court look good. Making it look official, powerful, authoritative, and something that not only does it have the power to force you to comply, but you ought to morally comply with. So when someone like that comes up against someone who is showing how the state is ineffective, inefficient, cruel, wretched, and thievery, like, when that's what Bitcoin is all about, is we are choosing a system that is not out-and-out theft of everyone. Yeah, yeah. So when you have someone who is making the state look bad, you can expect that they will slam the hammer down on them.
Circling back to Joseph LaPlante, the judge, the other items that I found interesting were that he is both a wrestling coach and a football coach at, I believe, the high school level.
Okay.
And so he's a sporto, right? So he fancies himself, as a judge, the referee.
Okay.
Between, you know, the accused and the, what do you call them, the prosecution. Mm-hmm. Right, he fancies himself wearing the whistle, and the robe to him is the referee shirt. Right, like, once I found out that he was a coach for both wrestling and football, it gave me a new light to see him in when the trial was going on, and his behaviors were exactly that of a referee. He tries to give the appearance that, you know, he's not throwing the flag unnecessarily. You know what I mean? He tries to only throw the flag and interrupt when he thinks some sort of violation of procedure has occurred, right? And so that's what kind of gives him, from some people's perspective, the appearance of being fair.
And, Tim, to your original question, I reject the first premise because, in my opinion, even though it's a government position, there are certain levels of government I don't think you can fake your way into through ineptitude, right?
Yeah, so, judging is not something you can fail upwards into.
Right. Like, if you were, like, working the counter at the DMV, you might get promoted to middle management or upper management, maybe. Right. But I don't think you get to be a judge.
Inept afterwards.
What's that?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but can you become inept afterwards? I mean, maybe he was competent, and maybe he's got Alzheimer's or something. You know, it's hard to say.
Yeah, he had three drinks at lunch before he comes back and makes his ruling.
Right, but when it comes to those positions, like the judges, like certain levels of politics, right, I don't think the senators, the representatives, you know, the president of the United States, maybe Biden to a certain
extent. Really? Really? You don't think you can get an inept elected official inept?
I think you can get it, but I don't think you can fake your way there.
Okay, it's an elected position.
Like any other elected position,
you can be incompetent and be popular.
Sure.
Hold on, go ahead, Tim.
Oh, no, all I had to say was with Biden, I think it started off with malice, and then that's the foundation, and then on top of it, now he has some sort of Parkinsonian whatever.
Right, but when you get to that level, I presume malice. Because again, if you're that inept, they don't let you get that far.
I agree. I think I got to agree with you.
All right. Anything else tonight?
Well, I just want to say maybe the mafia is actually like a proto government. You know, in the same way you got like proto metal and stuff like that. And
yeah,
100% correct. 100% correct. So a mafia is competing in the same realm. Like, what they want is the position of highest mafia. Now, the highest mafia is what we call a government. And while a mafia is less likely to appeal primarily to ordinary people liking having them around, that is still a very tried and tested tactic for certain areas. Like, this is why you have Sicilian mafias are a generally accepted thing in Sicily, because they've had a long period of time to ingratiate themselves with the population.
They're institutionalized.
Right, right, exactly. In Sicily, having mafias is an institution. People are used to it, and they basically see it as there's nothing wrong with that. In the same way that everywhere else, there are governments, so there's only one mafia. But yeah, it's the same niche that they're competing for.
Tim?
So I'm going to drop off the line, but I actually do have one last thought.
Go for it.
Something that's been on my mind is genetically targeted, viruses and contagion, and also, you know, with the new vaccine technology, the possibility of genetically targeted disease, where you could actually, imagine how much fun Hitler would have with something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you look into the project for a new American century, they specifically announced that they were going to be working on and creating genetically targeted diseases, genetically targeted bioweapons, and little known fact that, like, pretty much everywhere, every baby born in a hospital gets a little vial of blood drawn from them to, you know, just to check if there's a disease for them. But a lot of places, like there was just this lawsuit in New Jersey because they kept that vial of blood for 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no consent. Like, in general, parents didn't even know that this had been drawn. But so they have this tremendous amount of DNA information on everybody. So it is an easy enough thing for them to use that information and create any kind of bioweapon they want that's genetically targeted for any trait that they want, actually.
And now it's like the 24andMe, or which one of the other company, Ancestry.com.
Yeah.
And whoever are the ones that they collect the DNA and then they analyze it. I've heard, you know, conspiracies about that, where that's going to end up, whether that was the plan or not, it's going to be accessed by people of ill intent.
Almost guaranteed. If you mean government, yes. In fact, 23andMe came out at first when people started, you know, sort of being like, hey, you know, how can we be assured that this data we send you is private? And they're like, oh, don't worry, you know, we keep it private, we don't share with anybody or whatever. And then, like, within, like, a year, like, the government had come calling and, like, threw down, you know, a warrant or something and was like, hey, we need access to your database. And they're like, sure, here you go. So there was no defense, there was no privacy, whether implied or even explicitly stated. It just didn't exist when it came to the government.
Even if it did, in that case, right, once it's sold to somebody else,
right,
like Google,
right,
that their original promise is out the window, and Google now has the data to do as they please, and we already know that they're embedded with the CIA and the government.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So anytime you give it away to a small company who makes you a promise, their bottom line is, you know, their plan of action is to eventually be usurped or bought out by a larger company.
Yeah.
And all that data goes with it.
Yeah. Hey, Tim, thank you so much for the call, man. We appreciate you.
Yeah,
603-283-6160 if you want to join us.
Yeah, the most disturbing thing to me about the 23andMe is that they gain, like, property rights over your particular DNA.
Yeah.
So, like, that is now their patented information.
Yeah.
They own your genetic code. That is absolutely terrifying. They can legally, well, if they can find a place that allows cloning, they can just legally clone you. Or make diseases that specifically target people who are similar to you genetically.
Are you cloning around? It's like clowning around.
One of the interesting things is those people who have submitted their DNA
data. God, man.
Those people that submitted their DNA data, they occasionally get, like, updates. Like, oh, the technology's improved, and we re-ran it, and here's the new stuff we found out about
it. Without your permission. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, look what we found.
But people are excited to get it.
Yeah. There's actually, like, you've got a little bit of Asian in you or something, right? You know, something that's totally off the charts for you as a persona. And you're like, oh, yeah, wow, hey, thanks, guys. But, like, really, no. Why are they doing that? You didn't ask them to. You didn't resubmit. You didn't say, hey, I heard the technology improved. Will you guys rerun this for me?
Because they've got the data already.
Right. Because they don't have to.
Yeah.
You've already given them permission by signing over your DNA when you submitted it in the first frickin' place.
I didn't even give my gym my fingerprints. Yeah. But I'll do it the hard way every time.
And this really illustrates the difference between creepy government and creepy corporation. Creepy corporation, they at least ask. Creepy government, no. You were born in our hospital. We've decided that there's a law. We get your DNA now.
I want to go back. Your gym requires your fingerprint?
They didn't require it, but if you want, like, when you went to the gym, they had a little thumb scan.
They got a bio scan?
Okay. Yeah, and you bio scan, and your name would pop up, and you could go in. And I wouldn't give them the bio scan, so every time I went to the gym, they'd have to look me up, manually sign me in.
They couldn't just give you a card?
They did away with the cards in favor of the bio scan.
Yeah. Yeah, they wouldn't cash paychecks at the supermarket unless put your fingerprint on there.
Really?
Yeah. So
I did that to cash a check at the bank where the check was issued because I wanted cash.
Wow. That's brutal.
Yeah, usually, at least in my experience,
I need cash, man.
No, I get you. Like, if you need the money, you need the money. But, like, in my experience, cashing a check at the bank it was issued upon only requires your signature and potentially showing of an ID.
Okay. Well, they took a fingerprint. And
this is the last time I did this was, you know, a long time ago, a decade ago or more.
And when I say I needed the cash, this was like a job that went out of business overnight. And this was the final paycheck.
Oh, I'm surprised you even got the cash.
Well, that's why I went to their bank and got cash.
Yeah,
right? Like, I'm not depositing it and having it bounce.
Yep.
Right, I'm going to their bank. I'm cashing it immediately before, you know, I wash my hands of that organization.
I did that once. I was working for a company, and just like they just suddenly closed one day. Right. The CEO literally phoned it in. We had the technology at the time for him to do like a video conference and show his face, but he chose not to. We were just gathered in a giant meeting room around a speakerphone. And he was like, well, we had enough to pay everybody until the end of the day. Thanks for your service. To his credit, this was at noon, so we basically all got half the day off. Right. But like there were tears and everything. Everybody immediately caravaned in a van with their last paycheck, which they issued right there, to go and cash them because we were like, oh, there better be money in here.
Exactly.
603-283-6160. Still to come tonight, the New Year's nightmare. What is the IRS up to now?
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline. airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.